Well, good afternoon. It's good to be here with you. Today, we are going to be continuing on with our series in Revelation. For those of you that have been here, you know that we've been tracking with the seven churches that we find in the first few chapters. And today we find ourselves in Revelation chapter 3. And the church that we're talking about today is the Church of Philadelphia. And so naturally, Jason Kaliba, our lead pastor, thought there would be no one more fitting than myself to preach on the church in Philadelphia. Why, you might ask? Well, I'm a bit of a professional, a bit of an expert when it comes to all things Philadelphia. Why, you might ask? I am maybe one of the biggest Philadelphia Eagles fans that you will find. Now, oh, the sighs have begun. See, so here is why. So I share that, but I at least spared you the pain of having to look at an Eagles jersey, pajama pants, slippers, hats, other paraphernalia, goes on and on and on this whole time, all right? But you need to know that although we might be looking at the Church of Philadelphia, I do feel in some ways there are similarities to me and my allegiance to my Philadelphia Eagles. Why, you might ask? Two very different things, and yet at the same time, some similarities. Philadelphia, which is modern-day Turkey, is the church where we're at, and in a lot of ways, it kind of connects. You see, as an Eagles fan, it's not an easy life. Some of you with your sports teams, you would know the same. I've gone, and not personally, but it's been 53 years since this franchise has ever won an NFL championship. The teams appeared in just two Super Bowls, and they have now lost both of them that they have appeared in. There has been success, and yet at the same time, there has been a lot of pain and heartache and lots and lots and lots of loss along the way. And yet, I keep going back year after year after year, and yet I still say to you once again, I feel there's hope for my beloved Eagles this season. And you're like, you're crazy. But I've never stopped believing, I've never stopped loving, and I've never stopped supporting. There's reason in some ways for optimism given things that are on the horizon. Maybe just optimism for myself. Now for the church in Philadelphia, this is why I see similarities. See, this church in Philadelphia at this time would have been facing a lot of opposition. A lot of challenge in the time that this letter is written. There probably would have been persecution. There probably would have been a lack of power. It would have been a very different type of opposition than I talked about for myself. It would have been a loss of power, a loss of status, a loss of riches. And all of this would have been because of an allegiance that they claimed to follow Jesus. Now, they were probably a little down and out. They were probably discouraged. Much like me as an Eagles fan, and yet at the same time, very similar, they never stopped caring. They never stopped believing. They never stopped loving. They didn't stop being obedient, and they remained faithful to their calling. It would have been a hard and difficult time, but in spite of this, the letter that is written to them is a letter of encouragement. And so our letter today, unlike many of the others that we find in Revelation, is not one of rebuke, is not one of correction, but more so it's a letter of encouragement to a church that was obedient, a church that was faithful. Knowing that it's a letter of encouragement predisposes the fact that there was probably discouragement within the church, most likely because of opposition that they were facing. And that is so for Philadelphia, the purpose becomes encouragement. John, the writer here, he comforts, he edifies that church body. And my hope, my prayer now for us this afternoon, today, is going to be the same. That this letter is going to be one that encourages. That it would be one that offers hope. That it would be one that edifies and builds us up. So read with me together, Revelation chapter 3, and the Church of Philadelphia is written about in verses 7 through 13. And this is what it says. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of my city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit of the says to the churches. Now, before I continue, I have to give a quick little shout out to a group of youth that gathers with me Tuesday mornings to study scripture. We've been getting together throughout the school year at 7 a.m. Through the summer, we've bumped it back a little bit. We meet at 9. But they helped and engaged in this scripture with me. And I told them I'd give them a little shout out today because they went through it and we studied it together and they offered insights, many of them up here. But these guys are helping and studying scripture. And so as they ask, they want you to know as a church family, the youth of this church, they're studying the word of God, all right? Amen. So what encouragement do we find in the Church of Philadelphia? The first encouragement is this. It's in the person of Jesus himself. Jesus is described in that first verse in three different ways. And the first two ways we put together, and those two ways are this, holy and true. Holy essentially means that Jesus was set apart. Now, this does not mean set apart in the sense that he was removed from what was happening, but set apart in the sense that he was separate from darkness, from sin, that he was fully in the light. And Jesus is also described as being true. He's genuine. He keeps his word. He fulfills what has been promised. Truth is another aspect of God, an aspect that says that he is utterly reliable. If God says it, it will come to pass. Jesus himself says unashamedly, I am the truth. Those are the first two things. The third thing about Jesus is this. He has the keys of David, and he opens and shuts what no one else can. Now, this is a reference to David, and we know that David was a king, a great king. But we have an even greater king in the person of Jesus. Our king is Jesus. And as king, he has the keys to heaven and the authority to open and shut that very door, a door that only he has the keys to. If we think about it, a key stands for ownership. It stands for possession. A person who has a key has the authority to open and close the door to let others in. In this sense, Jesus alone has the power and the authority to open and close that door to heaven. John chapter 10, verse 9 says this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus alone has the authority to open and close that door to heaven. He alone is the only way for us to receive salvation. And that is a statement of that truth. If we are to be the church that Jesus has called us to be, we need this first encouragement. We need to know who Jesus is. Because at the heart of the church, at the root of the church, is the person of Jesus. So if we don't understand who Jesus is, then we don't understand what the church is. Mark Driscoll put it well when he said, "At the center of the church is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And when Jesus is known, when Jesus is loved, when Jesus is proclaimed, a church happens. A church is a people who are captivated by, in love with, and committed to, saved by Jesus." So let me ask you the simple question, do you know who Jesus is? Are you pursuing him in a way that all of who you are, all of your allegiance, all of your being is dedicated towards him? In a world that pulls us in so many different directions, this is something that goes against the grain, that Jesus is the one true King. And we need to know that and be encouraged by that, to know that we are right in what we believe, that we are right to declare that Jesus is holy, true, and has the keys to open and close the door to heaven. The second encouragement that we receive is that there is potential through Jesus. Verse 8 speaks of an open door that Jesus has set before the church. This door refers to an opportunity of mission to serve others and to spread the gospel. The Apostle Paul uses this analogy a few different times in his writing so that we can understand this opportunity that's being presented. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 7 through 9 reads this. "I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits, but I will stay at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many who oppose me." In Colossians again, we read, chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, "Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God might open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." So again, in verse 8 of chapter 3, we read the very same thing. It says, "I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." This time, the door, with the help of those other scriptures, shows us that it's referring to this evangelistic opportunity. It's referring to an opportunity of being on mission. You see, because of where Philadelphia was, because of its actual physical location, it had a great opportunity to reach outwards. There were many towns in which it bordered. There was lots of traffic and main roads that went through Philadelphia. And so they had a very real open door of opportunity to be on mission. And it's important for us to see why God gives the Church of Philadelphia this open door. And verse 8 again gives us that answer. It reads, "You have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name." Now, if you go back to early translations, there's a little word that precedes that part of the verse that I read. In some of our new translations, we don't have that word, but it's so important. And the word is this. It says, "Because." It says, "I have placed before you an open door because you have little power and have kept my word and not denied my name." This shows us two very important things of why the door was opened. First off, we do not open doors to mission and opportunity on our own strength. Rather, it is only through God's power and his sovereignty that a door is opened. We don't have the strength to open a door of opportunity, to open a door of mission. We have little power, as the text says, but it is in God's sovereignty and his power that a door is opened. Doors of opportunity for Philadelphia, much the same, did not open because they were strong. In fact, the statement probably referred to the fact that the church really had a lack of status, a lack of authority, due to the fact that they were holding to the name of Jesus. However, this opportunity was not, again, granted to them because of great strength or great ability. It was because of their dependability. It was because of their dependability. The Apostle Paul was great at a very good example of this dynamic of weakness and strength. God's strength was made evident in his weakness so often. Our weakness does not limit what God can do. In fact, it is in our weakness that we see God's power all the more. For me personally, I know that to be true so many times. When I feel the most unqualified, or when I feel the most weak, or not as though I could step into something, that really I see more and more of God's power. Even for me, coming up, when I have opportunities like this to preach, I still have nervousness. And you might not think that to be true, but it is. And I do get anxious, and I do get worried. But it is in that anxiousness and that worry that drives me all the more to God, that drives me all the more to trust in him, so that I actually can be up here, so that God actually can move, because in my weakness, it's less of me and more of him. When we have little power, God can move all the more because we depend upon him. Secondly, open doors are given to those who are faithful. The door of opportunity is open to Philadelphia because they have proven their faithfulness. This is important. Faithfulness comes before the open door. The open door does not come after, but faithfulness is what actually comes before it. We need to be faithful in order for God to open a door. How often is it for us and our response to be one of sitting back and waiting until God actually opens a door before we move in faithfulness? We sit back and we wait to be approached or to be asked to be involved or to do something. We wait until it seems as though everything is painted perfectly and everything is in place before we go to an open door. But that open door doesn't happen unless we are first actually proceeding with faithfulness. Doors of opportunity do not open to those who are not already being faithful. Think about it like this. I go back to my beloved Eagles. If they want to win a championship, they need to first work hard. They need to train. They need to be faithful in those habits and preparing towards that goal of getting to the championship. It isn't just given to them, but when they prepare well, when they're faithful in their preparations, there is a chance that a door of opportunity will open for them to actually step into that. Or think about it in terms of there's something that's going to be released in a store that you really want, something that there's been great buildup or anticipation for. You are going to be there at opening so that you can ensure that you are first in line so that you will get one of those things that you are so desperately waiting for. You are not going to wait until the end of the day or the next week to go and trust that there'll still be an opportunity for you to get that thing. You are going to be diligent and faithful, and in those things, then a door of opportunity opens for you to act upon. Faithfulness precedes the open door. When we are faithful, God moves. This year, in our youth ministry, I believe that we have seen much of this. That we have seen our leaders move in faithfulness and our students move in faithfulness, and because of it, we have seen doors open. I gave a shout out already to those who get to get up early to study scripture with me in the morning. If we weren't faithful in challenging our students to study the Word of God, if we weren't faithful in making that a priority, God wouldn't have opened up an opportunity for me to sit there every week with a dozen kids to study God's Word together. Now we are seeing God move. Now we are seeing God work in their lives. in our youth group, we have four different youth who have invited friends of theirs from their school, not connected to a church, not connected to faith. These friends have come and they've got connected to our ministry. And as a result of that, those students have now reached out to their families. And as a result of that, we now have four new families who are attending our church because our students were faithful in reaching out to their friends. Their students were faithful in sharing the name of God with them and saying, this needs to be a priority. And God rewarded their faithfulness with opening a door for us to now reach four complete whole families here within our church. We have opportunity. Yeah, go ahead. That's awesome. We have opportunity coming up with our youth now because there is a group of youth pastors within Calgary and surrounding area that have chosen to be faithful to say, we want it to be a priority, that we want to see our youth reaching their peers on their school campuses. We have been gathering for a number of months now and praying and figuring out and trying to know, how do we move in this? And we now have a goal in February 2018 to see Youth Alpha launched in every high school campus in Calgary and surrounding area come that month. We want, yeah. What an opportunity of a door that is now opening up. We are going to be diligent and faithful now in training and working with our youth to be able to be carriers of the gospel, to be people who can be going out in confidence to reach their friends. As we are faithful in that, think of the opportunity that God might open to us for a movement to truly happen within Calgary and the surrounding area, for students to be a voice for God on their school campus. That is because it starts with faithfulness. We didn't sit back and say, let's just see if God opens a door, and then you know what? Then we'll start doing a few things. We might move on it. We chose to be faithful up front, and because of faithfulness, God is opening doors of opportunity. How faithful are you being to the work of God? Are you being faithful in the work of God? Are you being faithful here as part of this church family? Kids need to hear the name of God. They need to know how to study and learn and read scripture. They need to have adults who are mentoring them, who are pouring into them. We need people up here who are leading us in worship, who are bringing us in that experience. We need people who are reaching their communities, their neighbors. And all of that, there's very practical things like small group and large group leaders in our Sunday school to teach kids, craft prep, kids check-in. There's needs for people that were like up here today, leading in worship or working sound and running media. There's a need for people to lead community or to lead missional communities in the place where you live. We need hosts and greeters and ushers. I need adults who are going to say, I'll step in with grade sevens and grade eights. I have two amazing groups of grade sevens and grade eights right now, but they desperately need some leadership. And they just need people to come and show them what it means to follow God and to create an environment for that to be able to happen. We want to create worship opportunities and a worship ministry within our youth ministry, and we need people to say, let me come and disciple and mentor kids through music. Any parents who will support me as I try to equip and develop parents in their role to bring up their kids as we work towards family milestones and faith milestones, we need parents to say, I can come and I can do that. Christianity is all about Jesus and his people, his church. My prayer is that we will respond to God in faithfulness, even in the areas where we feel weak. Because some of those things you hear and you're like, but I could never do that. Awesome. Then come and do it. Because if you can't do it, God can do it. He just needs you to step into it so that he can work through you to do it. So I really want you to think practically, how are you being faithful? How will you be faithful? What will you step into in what God is doing so that we can see doors open to us? Our heart, our desire, our passion should be to see God grow his kingdom here and God give us opportunities to do that very thing, to open doors so that we can be faithful to him in serving his church and serving this town. Now, there's a third promise that comes after that, and it's important. Because it's important to realize that with open doors often comes opposition. And all of these things where doors of opportunity have been opening, we can know and we can have confidence that it's never going to come without opposition. So common for us sometimes to look at opposition as evidence that a door is closed. But really, the opposite is true. As we saw a couple weeks ago with the church in Sardis, the absence of persecution and opposition can actually be evidence that a church is dead. Opposition often comes when a church is being faithful to God and is walking through open doors. In light of this third encouragement, we find in the letter that there is protection that we find in Jesus. Verse 9 again says, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Pretty serious words from Jesus for those who were coming against the church in Philadelphia. Those that aggressively rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and rejected any partnership with the Christians. Jesus refers to them here as a synagogue of Satan. But Jesus promises to protect his people. He promises to protect those in the church of Philadelphia against these persecutors. He says, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Now, this is not a statement that people will worship the followers of God, but is it a statement that declares that those that oppose and reject Jesus will come to realize one day that Jesus truly is that one holy and true God that we talked about. This church's persecution, although it might be great, the protection that they have is greater. Or using verse 9, that says, I have loved you, we could say this. His love for the church is greater than the opposition we face. Jesus' love for the church is greater than the opposition that we will face. This is a simple yet powerful statement that I want us to hold on to. Jesus loves his church. Jesus loves his church. There's a quote from J.I. Packer that I think really helps us understand that. And this is what it says. What matters supremely, therefore, is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlines it, the fact that he knows me. I am graven on the palms of his hand. I am never out of his mind. All my knowledge of him depends on his sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there is no moment when his eyes are off of me or his attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care falters. Because of God's love and the knowledge that the church had of this, they were able to remain obedient and hold with patient endurance, as it tells us in verse 10. Philadelphia did not give up. They held on and they kept moving through doors that God was opening to them. Are we going to face opposition? Yes, especially when we are being faithful. Faithfulness and obedience create reason for the enemy to want to come against us. Satan hates the church, especially when it's being active. However, the love of Jesus is stronger. The love that Jesus has for his church is stronger than any opposition we face. And so, Jesus, we get one more final encouragement in this letter. And it's the promise from Jesus. Jesus says, I am coming soon, and so hold on to what you have. Unlike the letters to the other compromising churches that we've been reading about, the promise of Christ coming soon here is not so much a threat, but an exhortation to continue to do the good that they had been doing. And there are three promises to those who are faithful. The first is this, a crown. This crown is imagery of the gift that we receive in following Christ. Very simply put, that gift of eternal life. The gift of salvation. That's his first promise. Second promise, that we would be a pillar in the temple of my God. Philadelphia was a city that was known for earthquakes. It's a church that was plagued by persecution, and so this promise of a pillar might seem a little concerning because the city kept falling. All these earthquakes that kept happening. But really, it's a promise of security. Because a pillar spoke of something that was stable, something that was immovable, something that was secure. And security is so something that the people of Philadelphia needed. Being a pillar in the temple of God spoke even further of abiding in God's presence, as the temple is where God would be. This statement spoke to the fact that those that remained faithful would be forever in his presence. And that's the promise for us today. Lastly, a new name. Three names. Jesus promises to write three names on the believer who overcame. The name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and a new name. There's a lot that we could really get into here and a lot of big questions, but I'm simply going to put it here. All of these simply speak to our identity that is found in Jesus. It's a promise that Jesus will acknowledge us before his Father. Not with the titles that we so often give ourselves here, whether it's our job title, a title in our family, names that are positive or negative, but titles like Child of God, Beloved Son, Beloved Daughter. Names that communicate where our citizenship is and who we belong to. That being in heaven and belonging to God. So again I ask, what about us? What about us, Cochrane Alliance Church? God has given us a very clear, a very real and literal open door that we are trusting we're going to be walking through in a few weeks. How exciting to be thinking that we are coming to that place. But I really believe that God is opening doors to mission as well. And it's exciting, and I want us to be excited and to be looking forward to moving into a new building. And let me say that I believe that you as a church family has been, as the church in Philadelphia, faithful, obedient, in a year that has looked so different for us, that has had opposition, that has had challenges. We have continued to press forward into the direction and the place that God is leading us as a church family. And so we have much to celebrate in that. God has been faithful, and we are now seeing the fruit of that as we are hopefully going to be walking through that open door. I believe that is an open door that God is opening for us. But again, the question is, how will we continue to be faithful? Because let's be honest, the danger when we move back into our building is going to be to just settle back into the same old, the same way of doing things. We are by nature creatures of habit, easily lured into complacency. But God wants more from us, and he's nudging us forward, compelling us to change and see the world through his eyes. It will be easy for us to just sit in a chair and say, I've done my part, I've pushed through, and now I just want to receive. But a church should not just be a place where we come to feel comfortable, to find a seat, to receive teaching, and to leave. A church needs to be a place where you are fully engaged on mission. Engaged church will advance the mission of God. Are you engaged? Do not let doors close because we choose not to be faithful. If we are not faithful, doors of opportunity will not open, or doors of opportunity will be closed. God is opening doors of opportunity for mission, and I believe that. And the question now is, will we step through it? Have eyes to see the opportunities. Listen and engage in what is happening. Don't see opposition, see opportunity. Be humble. Accept that you have little power. Accept that you're not qualified. But move in the strength and knowledge that God is, and that God is in you. Step out in faith through the door. Have boldness to risk for the kingdom. My prayer is this. May Cochrane Alliance Church be a place where children, youth, adults, and all in our community develop a sense of wonder and awe about who God is, where they are directed by the Holy Spirit and have within them a passion that is ignited by Jesus Christ, that leads them to become authentic missional disciples, living in the context of Christ-centered community that is moving towards God's kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the church in Philadelphia, a church that was obedient and faithful, that hung on with that patient endurance that we read about. Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement to us now here today. For many of us, that description of the church in Philadelphia might not describe us. We might be in a place where we're not being faithful. We might be in a place where we have been pushed away because of opposition or persecution. We might be in a place where we're just kind of sitting idle. We might be in a place where doors are closing because we're not choosing to move forward. God, I pray that you would encourage us today to be faithful that we might see doors of opportunity opened. God, I want to thank you for your faithfulness to us as this body has responded in faithfulness to see the completion of a brand new building for ministry completed so that we can move forward here in September. But now, God, may we not be complacent as we move back. God, move within us and work within us and allow us to step into things that we may have never even thought or imagined or dreamed of, knowing that we have a power moving in and through us that is so much greater than who we are or what we could ever be. Within us is your Holy Spirit, the power that rose, that raised Christ from the dead. God, would we claim that and move within that? Would this church body be one that could be written about as Philadelphia to say, you were obedient, you were faithful, I know your works, you have held on with patient endurance, and now I am opening doors of opportunity to you. God, we long to see your Spirit move. Would we be fully engaged and fully in mission with you? I pray these things in your name. Amen.